Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Pendergast, Payne. Actually, it's Payne and Pendergast. I got to get it in the right order. Yeah, sorry, that was Freudian.
You should start doing that. Just kind of try to
agitate you.
Just do it. Just squat on that name.
John McClain joining us for his weekly visit. Here's Bill O'Brien on how difficult it would be to create a bubble environment like the NBA in the NFL.
I think for football, it would be hard to, just my own opinion, it would be hard to bubble football because of the amount of people, the players, the staff that it takes to run a football team. I think it's hard to do that relative to the amount of players and staff in the NBA. I know there's a lot of staff and players in the NBA, but not as many as in the National Football League.
John, I've thought the mini bubble idea would be a good one for the NFL for as long as they could possibly do it. 32 mini bubbles. The only time you leave it is to go travel to road games. The Saints are actually doing this for the preseason. They're gonna put as many players as are willing to do this are gonna stay at the Lowe's Hotel right near the French Quarter. What are your thoughts on the Saints doing this and the possibility of other teams following suit?
Well, first of all, you call it a mini bubble. The only way you do a bubble is you do it like the NBA and you put everybody under one umbrella, which would be impossible for the NFL. And because of so many people, there's no place that could house them unless you put them out in the desert somehow and build some kind of dome, which isn't going to happen. As far as the Saints, it's all volunteer. You cannot make players do that under the CBA. And you know, who knows how it's going to turn out or if it's even going to work. It's just preseason. It doesn't matter what you do 6 days a week because we're not going to know about anything until that seventh day and they play. And everything they have warned against for 6 days, they're throwing out the window on Sundays and, of course, Monday and Thursday. And so until the Texans and the Chiefs play and we see the fallout of that, and sometimes it takes 4 or 5 days after players exposed to test positive, we're not going to know. So teams can do anything they want like that. Maybe the Saints will win the Super Bowl having a mini bubble in camp, but I just don't know. I haven't seen anybody else that said they'd do that. They would already have to have – they'd have to already be doing it. I don't think you can pop up and do something like that at the last minute at a hotel if you hadn't already had it in plans.
It seems like, you know, as they should be, the NFL is concerned about potentially extra injuries as well as COVID tests positive COVID tests. So, John, I'm wondering, with expanded rosters and expanded practice squad, I guess if I'm a tight end on this team, I might be, like, a few months ago was thinking, wow, there's four guys here and only three of us are going to make it because they've got four potentially good tight ends or four intriguing tight ends. There's probably a really good chance that at some of these positions, the roster battles aren't going to be quite as fierce as they used to be or were expected.
That's a great observation, Seth, because the practice squads are going to be 16, and you can have veterans, so you can stash players on it, and you can protect four every week. So say they've got four tight ends and a team loses its starter, its number two, and they want to sign one of the Texans to come off of it. Well, the fact is, they can't do it if they're protected this 1 year. And I don't know if they'll do that in the future. It's only for the one season. But I think you're right. That's a good way to keep some players you don't want to lose.
Well, and then the injured reserve rules now are way more flexible that you can bring a guy back after, what is it, 3 weeks?
3 weeks. 3 weeks.
Yeah. So I think there's going to be ways for industrious young coaches to kind of disguise or hide guys, perhaps, which I'm all on board with. I don't think that, look, the rules are what they are. If this is just a one-off year, then and that means that I get to have four viable tight ends on my roster, I'm all for it.
I think every team will be, and they'll all try to take advantage of it. And really, putting players on the practice squad, you know, that's not that's all above board. The fact they're letting veterans be on there, I think that's a great rule, because we're in the great unknown. We just don't know what's going to happen, and you hope that after that game against the Chiefs, very few, if any, guys test positive, and you hope it's not an outbreak like the Marlins or the Cardinals that disrupts the scheduling. But and there's going to be there's still over 100 free agents out there who haven't signed, and I don't exactly know. Like, say, Seth, you're sitting around at home on Sunday, and a nose tackle goes down, and a team calls you to come in on Monday. Well, then you got to pass 3 days of tests before you can work out and for them. So I don't know how that's going to work out, because that means you can only do one team a week. And because some guys go around and might get two or three tryouts a week, depending on or visits, depending on an injury situation.
That's a really good point, John. Man, every time you enact one rule, it's like 10 other potential situations pop up. And I wonder, for some of those guys that are street free agents, if maybe they can just keep getting tested through the NFL so that you can say at any given moment, yeah, look, I had a negative test 2 days ago, and now I just need one or two more. It's a really good point. It's going to be – they're going to have to – I wish you hadn't brought that. Now I'm pessimistic again. Damn it, John. John, I'm vacillating between optimism and pessimism, and now you've turned me pessimistic.
Way to go,
again.
John.
One of the things, at some point, and they hope it's soon, is coming where you can get the results back almost immediately. The way the Texans have it, at BioReference, the mobile unit set up in their parking lot, if you get the test in the morning, you can get the test back results at night. If you get them late in the day, you get them the next day. So it's supposed to be a 24-hour process, but they're getting better at it. And some of the teams, because they don't have the testing results on site like they're getting in Houston, it's not as fast. And it's kind of amazing to me that a team like Jacksonville will have 12 positive tests. And you don't know, I'm sorry, they have 12 that are on the COVID-19 list, which means you've either got it or you've been exposed to it. And we haven't seen anybody, I don't think, in football that has been admitted they were afraid of dying, like Braves first baseman Freddie Freeman, who said he was praying for his life. And there's a great thing I retweeted yesterday from the mother of a football player at the University of Indiana who is really struggling. And she and the family wanted to get it out there to young people how her son was in great shape, tried to do everything possible, and now it's like his life was in danger. And if it can happen to him, it can happen to any of these young people that think they're infallible.
John McClain is with us for his weekly visit. Up next, we'll talk some Astros. What's John's overriding emotion right now, 10 games into a season that's seen a lot of good and a lot of bad and some disappointing so far with the Astros? Also, will XFL 3.0 work, owned by The Rock? We'll ask John McClain next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
It is Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. On a Wednesday, John McClain joins us for his weekly visit. John, how are you handling these first 10 games with the Astros? This has been a crazy first 10 games. A lot of good news, a lot of bad news. What's your overriding emotion with this team right now?
I've watched every game, and the highlight to me has been the return of Carlos Correa to the greatness so far that he's flashed in the past and has had disrupted by injuries in recent seasons. And the bad news, the other good news, is exceptional pitching by a lot of young pitchers who we thought had no spot on the roster for. And then the disappointment is the injuries. Verlander probably done for the year. Osuna done for the year. They're having to have a lot of players step up that they weren't counting on, like Christian Javier last night. And that's good. And they got the big series coming up with the A's, and their pitching coach, Dave Stewart, already called them cheaters on a radio show.
So he did?
I saw that last night on the internet. And so
bastard.
They got it. It's amazing to me. Oakland might actually had sellouts three sellouts for these games if they could get fans in there. It's so true. It's going to be interesting to watch the A's. You know, the Angels, you know, they didn't have anything to get mad about, but the A's think they would have won the division in all 3 years if the Astros hadn't been cheating. And it's amazing how many people continue to say they cheated last season, ignoring the fact they were the first team in history to lose four home games in a World Series.
It's amazing how many people claim things that aren't theirs because of the 2017 cheating stuff. You know, like everybody would have won everything if it weren't for the Astros cheating.
Well, you hope that they don't do like they did against the Dodgers and spit the bit and go out there and get swept by the A's. Because if your team's complaining about the Astros, you should put a lid on it and just beat them.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah, Dave Stewart, I'm reading out of the Houston Chronicle, actually. So you guys must have Dave Stewart threw a little spice into the A's postgame show Monday night, knowing the A's have a weekend date with the Astros. And remember how the A's pilfered Ramon Laureano from that team? He closed out a segment with this. Houston, thank you once again, cheaters. So there you go.
That was Dave Stewart who said that?
That was Dave Stewart, yeah.
It, that kind of sounded kind of childish coming from a guy who was in the league all those years and has been around so long. It's one thing if it's young players, but coaches, cheaters, take that.
It sounds a little bit Rafael Palmeiro-ish. It sounds a little bit of like the lady death protests too
That's
much.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, you dirty, rotten, scoundrel cheaters. Yeah. The Astros, by the way, lead the league in runs per game right this
moment. Really?
Which I was told would be an impossibility given the fact that they were using electric buzzers, satellites in outer space, and homing pigeons, all in order to cheat the Yankees out of the ALCS last year.
Wouldn't you like to know what it was the Yankees went got all their big lawyers out to keep from being outed? Remember when that was a big issue and it kind of died on the vine, but they got all their big attorneys out to keep it from being exposed? Whatever happened to that?
I don't know.
It's been sitting in limbo for, I believe, about 6 weeks now for them to make a decision on whether or not the Yankees, who themselves argued that the letter should not be made public because it could cause reputational harm to their organization. Again, nothing to see here. We just don't want you to see it because it could cause reputational harm. Yeah, those are your glorious Yankees.
Yeah. John, a text message. This is interesting. A question for you. Do you think the Zoom calls, which we've got several more today of with the Texans, with their coaching staff, do you think the Zoom calls can be less confrontational than in-person media sessions? O'Brien seems to be calmer and more composed when he's messing around on the Zoom with the media, just not on draft night, they said.
Well, he hadn't started playing yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to do it now, but wait till Bill starts playing. And there's 11 Zooms we have with these assistant coaches today. And it begins with offensive coordinator Tim Kelly and ends with new secondary coach Danton Lynn. And they're in and out. And I've got about five of them I want to ask questions to. And if you wait long, you're not going to get a chance to ask your questions. So as far as O'Brien being calm, he's usually – I remember last year – when we interviewed Bill after every practice, I remember Seth bringing up that he seemed to be a little more calm than he'd been in the past, and he was for a while, and then when they start playing, you get Wild Bill.
Then he tried to leap 20 feet into the air to choke a fan.
Tried to murder a fan
during the Broncos game. I was sitting there when that video came out. All I could think was like, "Boy, John used to scoff at me when I said that Bill O'Brien was Nouveau Bill, that he was kinder, gentler Bill O'Brien," and I couldn't figure out why he was scoffing at me. And now I see
freezing cold takes on line one.
I was adamant, John, and to your credit, you kept giving me the stiff arm on that take back during training camp.
Yeah, it's going to be an annual ritual. Hey, John, like every year we're going to be like, hey, seems calmer. And then week three rolls around. John McClain joining us for his weekly visit. This other text, too, says, John, I guess you compared something to speed dating earlier. John McClain, quote, it's going to be like speed dating. Okay, John, give us all your experience on speed dating. LOL. I don't think people realize that a young John McClain was a man about town back in the day.
Yeah, I looked a whole lot different back then.
You were a handsome, dashing young man.
and I used to have, and I love Houston, used to have a great time. And but I equated speed dating with the lineup we have at coaches today.
Oh, that's right.
11, 11, 10, 11, 15, 11, yeah. 20, 11, 25, 11, 30, 11, 40, 11, 50, noon, yeah. 12, 05, and 12, 10.
I swipe right on Tim Kelly.
Well, you do. You look sexy as hell.
John, thank you. But I have to tell you. Let's do this, John, relying on your experience as a young man who's just a swinging bachelor back in the, let's call it the early 1980s. These are the things that are prohibited in the NFL right now. Players are not allowed to do these things away from the facility. Tell me if any of these would have broken a young John McClain. If you were, would you have been tempted to violate the rules? Okay, number one. You are prohibited from attending an indoor nightclub unless the player is wearing personal protective equipment and there are no more than 10 people in the club. So apparently you're only allowed to go to really bad nightclubs while also wearing a mask.
Sounds amazing.
Would you be tempted into going to a nightclub with fewer than 10 people in it while wearing PPE?
No.
Okay, how about this? What about attending an indoor bar other than to pick up food unless the player is wearing PPE and there are no more than 10 people in the bar? So basically it sounds like the same rule for nightclub as it does bar. But this would be a little bit more realistic. This might be a bar in an afternoon or something, and like, oh, there's 10 people in the bar at 3, and then all of a sudden it starts to be happy hour. The 11th person walks in. Are you going to be tempted to stick around for another drink?
I think I would have gone to a restaurant and got legitimate food to go.
Okay. Go. Let's see. House gatherings of more than 15 people without the player and all guests wearing masks or PPE, or where social distancing for more than 10 people is impossible. So any house gathering of more than 15 people or a gathering where distancing for more than 10 people is impossible. That,
now, how
like,
in the world
like
are they
a picnic.
How are they going to enforce that? As long as no idiot sends out a picture on social media,
just say 80%
of them are going to host a gathering of more than 15, then you need to confiscate all cell phones when they walk in, and then give them to them when they leave, so nobody posts a picture. And I don't know. It's like Andrew Brandt, former Packer executive and agent who works for SI.com, his favorite thing is about there will be lawyers. And some of these things, if they try to enforce, the lawyers will come out and they'll file grievances. But I would think I can't remember who the player was that hosted an event, pictures got out, and he and his agent started, you know, they started backtracking, claiming it was an old picture, an old party. And nothing ever came of it, but you know it's going to happen. Every player in the league is not going to follow the rules, and some of them are going to have mutton-headed friends who are going to take a picture and put it on social media, and it's going to be found, and they're going to be caught. And the thing is, I would have Bill O'Brien tell his players, if you violate these rules and you get caught, not only are you going to miss games because you're quarantined and not get paid for those games and possibly suspended.
Yippee-ki-yay.
I'm going to make you come up in front of this team and tell every player exactly why you violated rules, put them at risk, and hurt your team.
John, are you surprised? Well, and I guess these were collectively bargained, so it is what it is. But are you surprised that they're giving any latitude for these guys to go to bars and clubs and things like that?
Yeah, because some of them are going to take advantage of it, and that's something the players, you would think the players would have been in there. Okay, everybody stays out of the clubs, stay out of strip clubs, bars, and get restaurant food to go. And because, like, the NBA is incredibly restrictive, but we don't see any of them complaining about it. I've read and seen videos of life in the bubble, getting all your food at the door, and you wait before you pick it up, and they're adjusting to it. But in the NFL, you can't do that. But I am surprised that the union has said you can go anywhere if you wear your protective cover. Like, you know, even Lou Williams was wearing his protective cover when he was getting those wings to go at Magic City.
Well, but that was a problem, though. He wasn't getting them to go. He was actually – he sat there for a while. He said that he left with them, but they hung out for a little while. That would have been technically against the rules, I believe, unless that world-famous adult gentlemen's club was only at 10 people or fewer. I'd imagine the dancers alone would have comprised more than 10 people.
Dancers have told the media, yes, they gave him private dances, even though he denied it.
Oh, snippity snap. No
kidding.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard that.
I hadn't dug that deep into the story like you had, John.
Yeah.
It was, by the way, I feel like the one thing that players and owners agreed to, I think probably some out of idealism and then some out of just flat out not wanting to deal with the PR mess, no longer labeled high risk in the final deal between players and owners, church.
Yeah.
So the NFL, who remember the NFL had to deal with all kinds of crap because the Tebowing was prohibited because it was an individual celebration where he went to the ground or whatever. They realized the mistake there with the Tebowing, and they didn't want to repeat the same PR nightmare that it would have been with church. Although I will say, if I'm a player that's concerned about bringing the COVID back to my team, I'm going to go ahead and attend online services until the season's over.
Yes. Yeah. The last I checked, the coronavirus does not know that it's being spread in a place of worship as opposed to a Denny's or something like that.
That's about the least American take I've ever heard, Sean.
Sorry about that.
Enjoy your time in hell. It's forever, okay?
My bad. I'm going on the injured reserve list with a damaged soul. So, John, XFL 3.0, what do you think? Is the Rock going to pull this one off? I thought $15 million was kind of cheap for the brand and for, you know, what the league looked like it was building.
I thought if it was ever going to make it a minor league, it would have been the one with Vince McMahon, because McMahon sold a lot of WWE stock and put like 250 operating capital for them. And then, of course, the coronavirus hit and he lost a lot of money. And the way he's treated Oliver Luck as his commissioner, I think, is just reprehensible. And you'd think that Dwayne Johnson and the people he has involved, I don't know how they're going to go about it. They have a pretty good model from the way it was the last time. I don't know if they're going to change it, but, you know, I'm hoping we'll have a team and June Jones will be brought back as the head coach and P.J. Williams, they'll get him as the quarterback when the Panthers are not going to play him. But I don't know. But I would say on the surface it'll fail because they all fail.
John, what's going on in the Chronicle this weekend?
We've got stories, Aaron Wilson and I, every day, and I wrote one. My next one will be about the coaches, Kelly and Weaver, being under pressure as first-time coordinators. And then I'm going to have one on David Johnson for Friday, and so I'm looking forward to that. And we have stories every day, podcasts, everything we could want. And I appreciate you guys having me on, as always. Stay safe, and I look forward to someday seeing you again.
Yeah, same here, John. We'll see you on the Zoom later on this morning. But yes, looking forward to seeing you in person someday again soon. John, we always appreciate it. The General John McClain joins us each and every week in the 8 o'clock hour. All right, as we head into the 9 o'clock hour, Dusty Baker is dealing with a patchwork bullpen right now. The body toll that has lined up for this team in just 10 games, if this were an actual 162-game season, the things we would be saying in April right now, if it were the same in a 162-game season, my God, we will go through the list of names next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.